All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks are doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is May 2nd, 2024, right? God. Do I know what day it is? Yep, May 2nd, 2024. Beautiful, beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. I'm imagining if you're on the East Coast, you are having a beautiful day. Pretty great outside. Got up, had my old man walk, which feels really good. I love this time of year because I do need that. I definitely need that thing going on. I definitely need to be able to get up and go for the walk. I can do it in the winter, but the old man part of it is makes me realize I'm not a huge fan of doing things early in the morning in the winter anymore. Not like I used to. I used to like to get up, go for a run in the cold. I didn't care. Now I'm like, eh, no thanks. So, but not a concern, right? Not a problem because currently in this day, it is beautiful. And I do not have to worry about that. But yeah, I hope everyone's having a great day. I'm back to work today. Went to, was off yesterday. Great day. Got to go out into the ocean and do some paddling, which felt really good. So beautiful out. And I don't know, at least right here, this part of the country at this moment, there's a shitload of pollen. And the water yesterday looked like it had, I mean, I'm sure it had pollen on it, right? But it just had this kind of this yellowy blue. It was weird, but it was really, really pretty out in the ocean. And got to do that, suffered a bit, grinded out. Really makes my day a lot better when I get to do that. I'm actually starting to feel like I'm getting back in shape a bit, getting stronger. My buddy texted me last night. How do you feel? I go, I feel pretty good, right? I feel a little sore in my shoulders, but I don't know. I need to improve. I tend to start thinking that I'm doing really well in this paddling sport, and maybe I am for what I am, but yesterday I felt a little sloppy. A lot of gloops, like the paddle just goes in and kind of gloop, and I don't know what that is. I don't know if I'm trying to paddle too hard. I just have to figure out the sweet spot, but it was six guys. It was a lot of fun. We had to move some boats afterwards, so just grateful for that. Still, you know, super grateful to be part of that club. We are looking for paddlers if anybody's interested, but yeah, so... Yeah, and then I was supposed to get my hair cut. Oh, my God. And I don't know if I even talked about it, but I have had this terrible issue about forgetting to get my freaking hair cut. And I don't understand what my problem is. And yesterday I got up and I'm like, okay, whatever. Just don't forget. You have to get your hair cut at 4 o'clock. Don't forget. Don't forget. I told my wife, don't let me forget. I have to get my hair cut at 4 o'clock. And I went out paddling, obviously, came home. Had something to eat, sort of watched a little bit of TV. And then I get this phone call from my middle son who was with his mom this week. And he's like, I took the wrong bus. I was like, okay, so what does that mean to me? Well, you need to come get me. So I'm like, all right. So I had to jump in the car, go get him, brought him back. Well, that sort of threw off the whole plan. At that point, I just forgot again. I just completely forgot because I don't know if I could have made my haircut appointment now that I think about it, but I could have at least texted her, right? I could have said, hey, you know, this is what's going on. And but no, I come home, bring him home. He wants some lemonade. I'm making fresh lemonade. I'm into that right now. Cutting lemons with some agave and ice and stuff. Kids love it. It's more natural too. So, came home. And then ended up taking a shower, and it was like 5 o'clock. And I look at I'm like 5 o'clock. I'm like, damn it, I forgot to get my freaking haircut once again.
Stinging clear.
Incubus Drive. Yeah, so I have got to go get my haircut this morning. Of course, I called and they rescheduled me to this morning. Thank you. I'm sorry. Sorry. So I'm going to go get my haircut this morning, then off to work. Great day back at the salon. Yeah, just living a normal life, right? Living a normal life. I went to a meeting last night. Well, two things I wanted to talk about, actually. I shared this the other day, and I'm guilty of it. And then I hung out with a friend yesterday who's absolutely guilty of it, right? I've been talking about this, projecting anxiety, creating fear in my own head about shit that isn't even real. And I've been suffering from it all month. It is a character defect. Like, if I was going to list my character defects, this would fall under that list. And I don't even know what I would title it. I guess projecting would be, I guess, how I would identify it. I have talked about it in the past, and I've talked about how it is bad for me, and I've talked about how I've worked on it, and I've talked about it, how I've gotten better. And then I spent the last month doing it. And what that says to me is I'm never safe, right? I am never safe from this crazy little things that I have in my head. And even though I've identified them and I'm very aware of them, just give me another day and I will absolutely put them back into play. And, but the funny thing is that, I can't, when I started realizing about projecting, right? And projecting to me is when I create a scenario in the future because of what's going on in the present and then start to live in it, right? And I've talked about how me moving, I feel guilty about my clients coming to this new place when in reality that everybody has loved it, right? Everybody has enjoyed it. But these are my fears, my insecurities, my worries, right? I'm afraid. I'm still somewhere in the back of my head afraid that I'm not a good enough hairdresser, right? I'm not a good enough person. And this has all been a lie, right? I remember my buddy Matt used to say, at some point, I feel like they're all just going to figure out I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, right? And that was the night before he won the James Beard Award. And so this does not go away, but, we can identify it. There are things in place that we can learn about it, and hopefully we don't have to live like that, but sometimes we do. Sometimes I do. And, I've sort of felt bad about it. I've been beating myself up a little bit. I can't believe you're doing this. I can't believe you're projecting and reflecting and living in it and reacting and suffering and letting go of the hand of God. But, there are things I think that I'm learning that some of these things are helpful, right? If I was just like, no big deal, right? Then I wouldn't always be sort of self-checking myself, right? I want to be the best person I can. I would definitely want to be the best hairdresser I can be. I definitely want to be, a best of service to a person, right? Someone said that anxiety is God's way of telling you about things that you need to work on. And, maybe, right? It is, sort of falling under this new umbrella of love and fear and peace and all this stuff that I'm sort of going through. It would absolutely make sense, right? Because, when I have something, like if I get anxiety about something, it is usually something that I need to work on, right? It is usually something that I, inside, there are times I know that I haven't worked hard on something, right? Like when I went to that drone school, right? I wanted to go to drone school because I wanted to fly my drone all over the place. And what I learned is that that's not what having a drone is anymore. We really, there's rules and there's regulations and there's, different government agencies that watch over people like me so that I don't crash my drone into stupid places, right? And so when I went to that class and started learning that it's more than just a free-for-all with a drone, I sort of lost interest, right? And I remember having to take the test, and I had anxiety because inside I knew, you haven't really studied this, right? You really don't have any interest in this. My whole idea and excitement was sort of deflated on the first day, right? And so inside I knew, and the outcome was exactly how I thought it would be. I did not pass that test. But these, this whole thing that I've been going through this week, the anxiety, or the last month really, the anxiety and the worry is that, I don't want to not get this stuff. I don't want to not do what I was supposed to do, right? I don't want to come to May 1st, which was yesterday, and be like, I still need another week, right? Or I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. I need another 2 weeks, right? I didn't want to get to that point. And so the anxiety, and I guess it was God that was telling me, because maybe God knows that inside I could be a little lazy, right? I can procrastinate. I can drag my feet. And, you know, and I was, and God's like, hey, these are things you do, right? And so until you take care of it, you're going to feel uncomfortable. And so I guess the point is that, you know, some of these times, some of these anxieties, right, are helpful, right? They help me get shit done, because if I didn't have anxiety, maybe I wouldn't do anything at all. And so I have to stop beating myself up, really, because I've sort of felt like I've been worrying about something. And projecting is, I don't project as much. I project my clients' feelings, which I should not do, but there was not a lot of projecting as far as getting the salon cleaned out. There was, you know, I knew what the, I had an objective and I had to take care of it, and I did. There wasn't a lot of projecting. Now, I projected a little bit about what the owners, you know, that last conversation, right? That last, they had texted me about the mailbox key. And I'm like, I left the key and I left the mailbox key on the table just like I was supposed to, yada, yada, yada. And then I didn't hear anything. And so yesterday I was driving after I picked up my son, and I go, I wonder, for some reason, did I not put the key down there? And so I checked my key ring. Sure enough, the mailbox key was on there. And now I remember I actually went to check the mail to make sure that I had all the mail, and then I was going to leave the key, and then I must have got caught up in something else and forgot to. So I text him. I'm like, oh, by the way, I do have the key, and I apologize. I'll get it to you. But, you know, I sort of had this, I projected sort of what this conversation was going to be like, and it was going to be me telling them, I don't need your shit anymore, and pew, pew, smacking them, and that didn't exist either. Because it's not really who I am, right? I think I'm a very nice, kind person, and as much as sometimes I project myself to be a tough badass, in the end, I really just am a lover, right? I love people, and I love having great relationships, and I do not like to wake up in the morning to the smell of burning bridges, and sometimes I project this badass Tom, and then I sort of live in badass Tom for a minute, and then I come back to reality. I'm not that guy, right? And so, So I guess the whole point is I don't need to beat myself up for having a little bit of anxiety and projecting a little bit, because, you know, there's reasons. You know, when I initially had hoped to open a salon, I projected a lot of stuff, right? I had a whole lot of great ideas, and ego was involved in a lot of it, and I was going to have a lot of success, and it motivated me to, to try, right? Because there's also the other side where it's like, I wouldn't even bother. You're not going to succeed. You're terrible, blah, 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 blah. And that's why, like, my buddy was really important, my buddy Matt. He's like, either you stop talking about it or you fucking do it. If you want to do it, I will help you. But if you don't, shut up, right? Shut up. Stop talking about it. You know, stop living in these ideas that you don't do, which unfortunately a lot of people do that, right? And so it was my ego that started to push me. I was like, all right, I'll try it, right? And did it. And, you know, 14 years later, we're closing down and it's been a great success. So I just need to start lighting up on myself. But the one thing I did do yesterday is I had lunch with a friend of mine who's going through some shit. And I have been, you know, I've sort of been in this place where he is at. Not exactly, but, you know, a marriage is ending, right? And, you know, I think there's been some worry about this for a while, like most times, right? When, you know, even when I got divorced, you know, I knew it was coming, right? I could see it on the horizon. I didn't know what shape or form it was going to come in, but I knew. And my buddy's going through this, but the problem is, man, he is doing a lot of projecting, right? He is doing a lot of freaking projecting, and it's hard to watch, and it's hard to have conversations about, because, you know, for instance, you know, he felt like this person that he's with went out with a friend, went out with a friend, and then came back and was like, I guess was dropped off, right? And he ended up rifling through the trash can, found a receipt, you know, was counting the drinks, looking at the time, looked at this guardian, right? They, you know, all these houses now, they have cameras on them. He's like, I didn't know you could do this, but apparently you can delete the videos from the guardian cameras. And I was like, I didn't know that, right? We have the same thing. It's just part of this package, right? And I guess it's a Ring camera, right? But and I was telling my wife, I'm like, you can delete these videos from the Ring camera? She goes, you can? I didn't know that. I go, I don't even know if you can do that, to be honest with you. But he's like, the videos were deleted. And I'm like, dude, bro, chill, right? You have no idea. No idea. You are making all of this up and then you are living in it. And he's like, I know, you're right. But you know what else? And then I go, but stop. You're doing it again. It is horrible. And I know, you know, I shared the other day when I was in this relationship early on in recovery and I was just a mess, right? And my buddy is not, he's not in any program. He is not in recovery. He's, you know, he enjoys a few beverages. It's, you know, will he be a candidate one day? I don't know. But he, yeah, he is not in any program. But I remember when back in when I first got in that first relationship, when I'd first gotten sober, I was a mess, right? Anytime she was on the phone, I'd be like, oh my God, who is she talking to? She's talking to another guy, right? Because I was just so insecure, right? And I did not love myself. And I couldn't see any good qualities in me. I thought I was just a rescue case, right? And that's how I acted. And, you know, nobody wants to be with a person like that. It's just, it's horrible. And, but he's going through all of this stuff and he's like, you know, this happened and this happened. And I'm like, honestly, dude, I said, you know, if this is what's going on, I would honestly feel like, like if this person was seeing somebody else, I really don't think that this person, if they were seeing somebody, would come and pick them up at your house while you're still married, right? I just don't see that happening. I just think any guy, even if you're, you know, if you're involved with a married person, right, and they're getting divorced, more than likely you're probably going to step back and allow that to happen. Whether that's good or bad, wrong or right, I don't know. But typically, you know, someone that's going through a divorce that is apparently, supposedly, right, seeing somebody else, they're not going to get picked up on a date while you're still married and together. I can't imagine. That's ballsy, right? I would just speak for the guy, right? I can't imagine, like, the guy being like, yeah, let me come pick you up while you're still married. You know, it's a good way to get shot, unfortunately. Not that I, you know, promote any of that, but that's what could happen, right? That's going to be really bad. So my point was to him is like, dude, just chill. Right, because you're killing yourself mentally with these projecting of this crazy stuff, and you know none of it's true, or we don't know that it's true. Right, we just don't know. And you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine who was sort of helping him, and I'm like, it's just a reminder what life was like before finding sobriety, and you know, you can be absolutely sober and still get crazy into this shit. It's like, you can put all, you know, do all the work, work with somebody, get it all figured out. And then when one of these scenarios happens, you just revert back to it and you're like, oh my God, because that's happened to me in sobriety. And it's, you know, it's sort of like this closing down my salon. Not that obviously a completely different situation, but I'm completely aware of how I project things and start to live in them and react and suffer with it. And, you know, if you'd asked me, you know, a month ago, I'd say, no, I'm good. But I've actually spent the last month really doing the same thing. Now, mine isn't about, you know, my wife seeing somebody else, but it is about like my customers not coming to me, not being inconvenienced about the drives, the change in location, the traffic, yada, yada, yada. And so I'm doing the same exact thing, but obviously different storyline. And, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. I sort of have allowed it. And like, that's kind of what I was saying, you know, it's just sort of helped motivate me. Right. Cause I don't also like, I want to get it done. Right. I want to get out of it. Right. And so it's been interesting. I'm just, you know, as to him as a friend, I'm like, bro, you really just gotta chill. You right. You don't know these things and you can't react. And my message to him has been since the beginning, be kind, right? Be gracious. Don't yell. Obviously don't be violent. We don't want to make anything worse, right? There's nothing worse than when something like that is ending and then we do something that makes it even worse and more, and we become more powerless, right? You know, behave, don't act like an asshole, keep what you have. You know, you don't want to give anything else away that you don't have to, right? And sometimes when we react and behave badly, whether it is through yelling or screaming or breaking things or violence, we give away the ground. My buddy Matt says, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, man, you can do whatever you want, right? As long as I don't put a drink in my mouth, I still hold my cards. But as soon as I do that, lay the cards down, game over, you are at the beckoning call of the other people because now you've screwed up. And, you know, he's just, hang on there, bro. We'll see what happens. But I guess the whole point for me today is that because I've sort of, you know, as much as I've been sort of projecting and then sort of catching myself, I also have to remember, man, I have to, you know, this, I have to get shit done. And sometimes this stuff helps me. And I think it is God's way of reminding me, you know, let's keep it moving, Tom. Let's keep it. We got to keep doing the things that we need to do. You know, we just can't sit back and don't feel bad about it. You know, you're not drinking, you're getting stuff done, you know, salon clean, right on schedule, everything went good. But now I'm done with it, right? Now I have like, I was thinking about this last night. In fact, my car is full of all this crap now, and now I'm carrying around a mini salon. So I need to tie it all up, right? I need to get my car cleaned. I had to use my dad's truck. My dad came over last night for dinner, and he's like, I see you use the truck, right? Because it's got a shelf and a hair dryer in it and hair dryer chair. And I was like, yeah, I'll get it out of there. So now I've got like little chunks of salon everywhere. Got to button all that stuff up, you know, and so that I don't have to continue to live with that stuff. But yeah. So anyway, the topic of projecting is. Hopefully coming to a close. We're going to, you know, wrap that up. But yeah, I went to a meeting last night. It was great. My buddy, a buddy of mine spoke. I always talk about him. He's just such a good guy. He is that guy that just is a great reminder. You know, he was the guy that didn't believe in the steps, right? And he, you know, and he's over time listened to other people that have used the steps and used them in their lives and started to find other things, right? There are more shall be revealed, and he's just become fascinated with it and wanted more, right? And doing a really good fourth and fifth step was that beginning, I think, and then getting into the sixth and seventh, and then obviously the eighth and ninth, and but starting to have that spiritual awakening, right? He used to say, "Have I had a spiritual awakening?" Which I used to ask myself all the time, "Have I had a spiritual awakening?" And my buddy used to tell me, you know, there's a thing in the beginning of the big book or somewhere, but it says, do we have more of a spiritual awakening more than we did last week, right? Have we improved a little? I forget how it's written, but, and I used to say, well, I guess I feel a little bit like I have, a little more, right? But he is sort of going through that same, that same journey that I've sort of, am on and have been going through where I start to learn about this real, about fear and all that stuff and, you know, finding peace. And so he did a great job. It was really awesome to listen to him. And what I love most is that, you know, we come into this program sort of, you know, I don't know if it's exactly this way, but a lot of us have to do this, right? Whether it's our family, you're backed up into the corner, whether it's the court system, we've crashed something, whatever it is we've done, usually getting sober is something that we have to do. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? It's our own fault. You got to do this, man. You got to get sober. The problem is we're a victim. I feel like a victim when I have to do it. It's just this, I don't know what it is, but it's just, it's a whole perspective, right? And I don't know the number or the percentage, but it's a big amount that come into this program that have to, because our families have had it, the court systems have had it with us, whatever, but it's something we have to do. And so we come in and we go to the meetings, right? And we sit down with the sponsor and we get a sponsor and we work through the steps and we get to a place, right? And that's probably only 50% of us, right? I don't even think, honestly, I don't think most of us do even work the steps. We go to meetings, we feel good about the meetings, we make friends in the program, we appreciate it, right? We admit it, right? And we're helping others and we're sort of working. But it honestly, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to send us back out for another adventure. And then we come in again and rinse and repeat. And, you know, but sometimes we come in and we start to stick and stay, right? We start to hear enough. We start to see the right people, right? You know, my buddy Matt was a huge inspiration to me. There was, it was my buddy Matt, I think, was the guy that just had, he just held the key for me, and I don't know why. He just had this way about him, right? There's something about, you know, what he has that I want, this freedom, right? This, my dad used to call it this wishy-washy attitude, like this nonchalant attitude, and I used to love it. I was like, he don't give a shit. And I don't know what it was, but there was just something about him that made me want what he had. And I started working at it, and you know, unfortunately he died. It's been 9 years, I think, now, but it was just enough to get me started, right? And to keep going and working with other people and hanging in there. And then it just started to click. And that's what's happening for my buddy that spoke last night. And, you know, the worst part is that it takes so long and so many, you know, I think he has 7 or 8 years now. It takes a lot of participation. And he has participated and he is starting to come into the other side of this serenity place, right? This place more than just being sober, right? Sober won't keep us sober, right? Serenity is what keeps us sober, hopefully, right? Serenity is what keeps us, you know, what keeps us in the moment, right? Serenity is what stops us from projecting, right? Serenity is that voice that says, hey, you know, man, this projecting's making some discomfort in my life, and we need to. So this, you know, let's take a look at it. Why are you doing it? Let's stop it. Let's get back into the moment, right? Let's remove the fear again. It's bad enough when there's natural fear, but when we make up our own fear, that's really fucked up. And so, anyway, he did a great job. But then a guy was there with less than it was his first meeting, so we obviously reverted back to the first step. And it was just a great meeting. Let me read. I gotta go. I've got things to do. I was like, let's go up and see if we can do a podcast. If we can, we will. If we can't, we will not. I felt pretty good today. Shout out to my buddy driving across the country, headed to, I guess she's in Chicago now. She picking up her daughter. She'll probably be heading home. Been listening to the podcast on the way up. Drive safe. It's good to hear from you. Her and I used to do another podcast. So funny. Loved it. All right. Lighting the Dark Past. Ooh, May 2nd. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have. The key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 124. No longer in my past, No longer in my past, an autobiography. It is a reference book to be taken down, opened, and shared. Today, as I report for duty, the most wonderful picture comes through. For though this day be dark, as some days must be. The stars will shine even brighter light later. My witness that they do shine will be called for in the very near future. All my past will this day be a part of me because it is the key, not the lock. I don't know why it's so hard to read this stuff from the past. Let's see if I can read that again. No longer in my past an autobiography, it is a reference book to be taken down, opened, and shared. Today is a report for duty. The most wonderful pictures come through. For though this day be dark, as some days must be, the stars will shine even brighter later. My witness that they do shine will be called for in the very near future. All my past will this day be a part of me because it is key, not the lock. Yeah. Yeah, figure that one out. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. You know, I guess for me, it's just, you know, stay in the moment. Once again, one day at a time, Tom, stop projecting out into the future and, you know, and try to be there for the next alcoholic. I appreciate everyone for listening, and we'll catch you later. Bye.